Oh, we're back. Sorry for the hiatus, everyone. It's Friday, June 8th. Adam Azer here with Jay Darren Dart. It's been a little while, so let's catch up on some college football. If you got any emails, send them to podcast@cbsinteractive.com. Podcast@cbsinteractive.com. Jay Double Dizzle, what's up?
Yes, what's happening?
Getting all ghetto in here.
I assume you're getting a little tired, as I am, of all this playoff talk and nonsense. I mean, I will get a little deeper into it, but it's just getting a little out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, the playoffs thing, I mean, look, how much are you going to criticize LeBron, right? He's I'm not too tired of it. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited, but it just seems like it's, I don't know.
I think it's interesting.
I'm getting tired of the Big Ten, I guess, what I should say.
Why?
They say that they'd rather have status quo than go through all this other playoff talk.
No, they want a playoff.
They do, but you know, Delaney came out and said that he would like, you know, he likes the, he'd rather just go status quo unless they can get the. Listen, there's certain conferences that want conference champions in there. You know why?
Yeah.
Because they know they might not get in there if they're ranked number 8-9 as a conference champion.
It's very, very clear. We're going to go through some notes from around the country, and then we'll get into the playoff discussion. How about November 3rd? What are you going to be doing? Alabama at LSU at night. USC Oregon also on November 3rd.
Yeah, well, I assume that game will be at 10:30 and the other game will be at 7:30.
I would hope so. I saw that in a Fisher tweet, so I hope that's true.
That's a great night.
You know, I was just reading some blogs on the site, and it was a blog entry about how the Mountain West is very happy with where they are right now, and the only thing that stood out to me was I forgot how ugly the Mountain West logo is.
When you just said the Mountain West, the first thing I thought of was their old logo. Their old logo rocked with the mountains and the stuff. But then you did the MW Cube. Yeah, it's not good.
Hashtag logo fail. Dabo Swinney's contract was extended 3 years through 2017. He'll make just under $2 million per year. I think that's a bargain.
It is a bargain these days.
Two Atlantic Division titles in 3 years. He won the conference last season, got whooped in the Orange Bowl, but that's okay, right?
It's all right. It's just the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, so his recruiting classes have been ranking well. And you know what? Chad Morris, offensive coordinator, he makes $1.3 million. Brent Venables, they brought over from Oklahoma. And I've said it on the show, I'm not in love with Brent Venables. I think he had a lot of talent at Oklahoma, didn't really achieve what they could have achieved. But you see Clemson really shelling out a lot of money here, Darst, for coaches. They are in it to win it.
They are in it to win it. They are in it to try to be the class of the ACC.
And maybe the Big 12.
Or the SEC, maybe.
Right, or like that. Iowa's running back situation. So I see this headline on our site that says something about Iowa. I think it was like Iowa freshman Garmin charged with marijuana possession. And I said to myself, please don't let him be a running back. And sure enough, he's a running back. So this guy charged with marijuana possession. He's the number 54 recruit in the 2012 class. We got a blogger, Matt Hinton, who wrote about Iowa's woes at the running back position. And in 2009, Jewel Hampton tore his ACL. By the end of 2010, Hampton tore his second ACL. Adam Robinson kicked off the team. Brandon Weger was dismissed from the team. Last year's leading rusher, Marcus Coker, was suspended, and he left the team. Going into the Insight Bowl, no other running back on Iowa had 23 carries for the entire year, other than Coker. And, of course, Jordan Canzeri does really well in the Insight Bowl, tears his ACL, and he's probably going to miss 2012. So they have no experience here. And this guy, Greg Garmin, could have been the starter for them, could have been at least in the running, and he gets suspended. So that's a tough blow.
I just don't understand. I mean, it's like there's a curse, and I don't believe in curses or anything, but Iowa's got a problem here at running back. They're going to have to pull some kid off, some walk-on kid, or they're going to have to get somebody and move them to running back. This is going to be a rough situation for Iowa.
You know, they have not ranked higher than 70th in the nation in rushing for three straight years.
Yeah, well, I'll chalk them up for 8-4. Write it down.
8-4?
Yeah, 7-5, 8-4.
Now, I think the fact that they've been able to just plug in guys to run the ball, and they've all seemed to do fairly well, it's encouraging. You got to think that they got a system there that works.
Sure, but they're a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team, let's be honest.
Okay. Oklahoma. Oh, by the way, James Vandenberg. So I saw this story about him. Bear hunting. Killed a bear. A huge bear. Their quarterback. I mean,
does that excite you?
No, but it's pretty cool. Oklahoma wide receiver situation is looking about as bad as the Iowa running back situation. We told you about this a little while ago. They suspended in May. They suspended three wide receivers and one safety. The wide receivers were Kamel Jackson, Trey Franks, and Jazz Reynolds. The safety was Quentin Hayes. Franks, Reynolds, and the safety Hayes have had their scholarships removed. So now here's a team, Darce, without Jazz Reynolds, who was their third leading receiver and their big play guy last year, most yards per catch. Broyles is gone. Tight end James Hand is gone. They're really thin.
Do you think maybe
thin.
Think maybe Landry Jones is thinking, I could have come out this year and gone to the draft, but I don't know. He had a bad year last year. This could be rough.
Don't make me have this argument with you again.
This could be rough for Oklahoma.
He didn't have a bad year last year.
He didn't. He had a worse year as a junior than he did as a sophomore.
Fine, but he
so he had
year.
A bad year
no.
for him.
You're
he
going,
had a
you always
bad
go crazy
year.
About the touchdowns, and I always say okay because they kept bringing in the Belldozer package to steal his touchdowns.
Can we get the Belldozer at wide receiver here or
maybe,
tight end?
Maybe you know they're gonna have to throw their tailbacks. I think out of the backfield too. Roy Finch had a lot of catches last year. For a running back. Georgia and defensive coordinator Todd Grantham are closing in on signing a two-year extension. Base salary, $825,000. Annual raise, $75K. It's a lot of money for a defensive coordinator. He's done a great job.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's talk about the Jerry Sandusky trial. I don't want to speak out of school because I'm not a lawyer.
Okay.
I'm not a judge. But I know that when I see something like 7 of the 12 jurors and 2 of the 4 alternates have Penn State ties. You've got a dance teacher in the continuing education program, a professor who's been there for 24 years, a retired soil sciences professor with 37 years at the university, a guy who has a bachelor's and master's degree from Penn State. And a season ticket holder since 1970, since the 70s.
Yeah, this. Let me explain. I don't want to get all legalese on you or whatever. But you know, when there's a murder trial in South Florida, in Miami or whatever, and everybody knows about it, sometimes they have to move the trial somewhere else to find jurors who don't know anything about the case or don't have any ties to what's going on. That is absolutely ridiculous.
That's
you
crazy.
Can't have biased people. And listen, I don't know if they're biased or unbiased, but you don't want to taint the possibility of a bias. So you have to be able to move the trial somewhere else and not have people who have ties to Penn State.
Yeah, no, I don't know how this is going to affect Jerry Sandusky, but I do know this, and this is why it bothered me so much. You don't know if they're going to be biased, but I remember specifically when all this stuff was going down, really when Paterno got fired, there seemed to be a sentiment in Happy Valley that did not reflect the sentiment of the rest of the nation. In other words, maybe we were a lot more harsh on Joe Paterno than a lot of the Penn State fans.
Mm-hmm.
They supported him. More than the rest of the country.
Sure, that is true.
And so you have to wonder how these jurors who have Penn State ties are going to feel about Sandusky, who they may blame for Joe Paterno's downfall.
Right, and also, too, like you said, we don't know what they're, but you have to remove that possibility of a bias. You just have to. And somebody who works at the university or is a season ticket holder or something, you can't allow these people to serve on a juror.
Let's talk playoffs, Darst. All right?
All right, let's do it.
The Irish Mexican on Twitter says, I'm a BYU fan, and we are independent, not BCS. If BYU stays independent, do you believe there will be playoff/Big Bowl access?
You know, I thought about that the other day when you showed me that email, and he's got a good point because BYU,
tweet, idiot.
Whatever, BYU does not have the same rule as Notre Dame. There's no exception. So how is BYU going to get into this so-called playoff unless they're a top-four team? I mean, they don't even have the possibility if it's three conference champions and one wild card, whatever. They don't get the opportunity to be a conference champion. They don't get any of that.
No,
there's no exception for that.
I think they'd have to join a conference. I don't think they can. Here's the only way I can see BYU getting in. They have to have one great year where they're like almost a top-four team. And then they have to do it the next year when they rank high in the preseason.
Well, that's what happened to Boise State and all those schools. They always have that one year where they're 13-0 or 13-1, and they're always like sixth or seventh because everyone's like, you know, they're good, but let's see if they do it next year. And then you start high in the preseason rankings. But, I mean, listen, we don't know what's going to happen with all this playoff talk and coaches' committees that Bobby Bowden wants and everything else. So let's just wait. But I agree. They got to get into a conference.
So here are some of the options for a playoff to begin after the 2014 regular season. The SEC and the Big 12, They want the four best teams in the playoffs, 1 through 4 in the rankings. We haven't determined how those rankings are going to be determined. Some of the other conferences want conference champions only. Some want a selection committee to select the four teams. Some want a +1 model, which would basically be keeping the current bowl system and then having another game after that. What do you want?
You know, I see so many arguments for and against everything. I do like a little bit of a selection committee, but...
What?
Wait. But it's going to be almost impossible to find a selection committee that's not biased towards some school. And I think that's a problem. I know what Bowden says, a BCS committee, but they're gonna always have biases towards their schools and conferences. It's just not going to work. So I mean, I guess
I don't want Bobby Bowden on the board, on the committee.
Well, he's always going to root for Florida State and ACC schools or whatever.
I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm worried about that.
It's got to be the top four. It's got to be the top four. It just has to.
How do you determine the top four?
There's got to be some computer formula.
Let's do two separate issues. Number one is top four teams or top four conference champions or top three conference champions and an at-large. And then there's how do we select who is actually in the top four. So which format do you like before we get into selection?
Why are you putting the pressure on me
Go, you want me to go first?
No, I think I like the conference champion thing, but I also have a problem with it because some conferences are stronger than others. But, I mean, I don't know. I think the fairest way, if you're just going to do top four teams, then why even have conferences?
You can't lose conferences.
Why not?
Because then you lose rivalries and scheduling becomes a mess. You need conferences.
Okay, so you have conferences, but why? I mean, you have conference champions. If a team wins its conference and is the champion of the conference, they deserve the right to go on to the playoff system.
Not if there's only four teams.
Well, that's the problem. It would be, if you did an 8-team playoff, you would solve all that problem.
The truth of the matter is, by the end of the college football season, we probably have a pretty good idea who the best four teams are.
You probably,
with some exceptions and some arguments.
Right, but who is going to make that determination?
I don't like the BCS determining the national champion. I don't like determining 1 and 2. I don't really mind it determining 1 through 4, because I think that if you can't crack the top four. You know, if you can't crack the top two, it's one thing. But how many times are we looking at the top two at the end of the season and we're talking about three extra teams that have a claim? You know, last year it was LSU, Alabama, and Oklahoma State. And that was it. If we had the top four, it would have been totally fine.
Right, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you really want to select the best team in the country, having the top four in the BCS is just fine to me. I don't think that there's going to be too many. There will be gripes, but I'm okay with that system.
There's still a problem with the current BCS. You can't have the coaches pull of a part of the
that
formula.
That I agree with, 100%.
You can't have coaches determining.
They're the worst. They're pathetic. They're idiots. They're jerks.
But you can't have you can't have a coach whose team is number three having a say whether his team gets in the playoff or not. It just doesn't work that way. You can't do that.
Well, all you had to see was how the SEC and the Big 12 coaches voted Alabama and Oklahoma State last year in the final coaches poll. It was crazy. But the problem was we had it with the Harris poll as well.
Yeah, but that's another problem. The most of the voters on the Harris polls are idiots. They don't know what they're doing either.
Everybody's so biased. It's so not fair. We need transparency. Everybody needs to know who everybody in every poll is voting for.
But again, that's where I think you somewhat have to institute maybe a selection committee. I'm not talking about a selection committee at the end of the year to say here are the best four teams, but maybe a committee of people who can vote throughout the year. Listen, as much as we rip
the... So you're talking about another poll, not...
Yeah, but as much as we rip the AP voters, I would tend to say I might lean towards some of the AP voters who follow college football, who cover games, who watch games all year round.
You can pick out a few AP voters here and there who did something really stupid and really obviously biased. However, as a whole, it's a much better poll than the coaches.
You know, and Dodd had a thing in his column where he had a group of people, 16 people, who he selected, people he knows around the country who go around the country and watch games all year and watch TV and watch all the games and know everything about college football and don't have a bias maybe. Listen, everybody has a bias, but yeah. You know what I'm saying. Somebody who's not tied to a program.
Right, right. Okay. To sum it up for me, I am not in support of the conference champion model. I am in support of the best four teams model. If that's three SEC teams, I don't care. But I know that two SEC teams deserved to be in a 4-team playoff last year. I'm sorry.
No,
Alabama and LSU absolutely
definitely
deserved it.
I agree.
If that would have been a crime if they hadn't been in there, in my opinion. If one of them hadn't been in there. Winning the SEC is harder than winning the ACC. It's just that simple. And maybe in 5 years that'll be the reverse. I don't know. But the bottom line is the best four teams should go, even if one or two or three of them didn't win their conference.
Do you think maybe, and this is just a reach here, let's just say in a perfect world, I have a 16-team SEC, I have a 16-team Big Ten, I have a 16-team Big 12.
And a Pac-12.
And a Pac-12.
Pac-16.
And a Pac-16.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't solve my problem, because I could say you take the four champions, though, but now you're leaving out the ACC and the Big East. That's what I'm saying. An 8-team playoff solves everything.
An 18 playoff would be great, but the thing is, if those conferences get to 16 teams, they're going to have to change the format of the playoffs. You can't have four teams, because then it really is going to end up being conference champions. You'd have to figure, you know, it just being in a bigger conference doesn't really help your chance of going to the playoffs as an at-large.
No, but
obviously.
But what I'm saying is, if you have these mega conferences, and let's just say the Big East folds, and you got an ACC 16 team playoff. Just say, for example. Okay, mm-hmm. You could take the five conference champions of those conferences and then leave three wild card spots open,
yeah.
And those three spots could be based. And then you really wouldn't have an argument. Somebody would say, oh, we're number nine, we should be in. I don't want to hear
it. An 18 playoff would be too smart. Too smart for these people.
Too smart for college football. I know.
It would be absolutely perfect. I've been wanting that for years and years. I wanted it when it would have been six automatic and then two
Wild card
bids.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's a start. A 4-team playoff is a start. You have to start somewhere. Remember, the college basketball tournament didn't start out as a 64-team tournament. It started out slowly and grew. So, I mean, I think you start at 4. Eventually, down the road, you have an 8-team playoff.
The Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Big East, they have backed a plan that would admit the four highest-ranked conference champions, according to BCS standings, with a cutoff at number 6. So if conference champions ranked outside the top 6 are not eligible. The four highest-ranked conference champions in the top 6 go to the playoffs. This is what the Big Ten, Pac-12, ACC, and Big East have backed. But there have been some mixed signals from some of these conferences, too. If there are fewer than four conference champions ranked in the top 6, the remaining spot or spots would be filled by the highest-ranked at-large team.
The other problem, too, is what you're saying is, you know, why can't we have a 6-team playoff? And have the 1 and 2 seeds have byes.
I'm fine with that.
Actually, yeah, and then you'd have go from 6 to 4 to 2.
I'm fine with that.
But that'll never happen either. I mean, it's not going to happen right away.
But here's the thing: if we did more than two rounds of a playoff, I really think you got to eliminate a game somewhere in the regular season.
Yeah, you would have to. Another quick question:
have these teams playing 15 games.
Another quick question: that scenario you just laid out about the four conference champions, does that include like the conference? What if you're the conference champion of the WAC? And you're ranked number 4. Do you get in?
Yeah, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't know how these BCS conferences like to exclude some of the minor conferences.
No, it's not like that anymore.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's not going to be like that ever again if we get a bunch of 16-team conferences.
Right.
If you get six 16-team conferences.
What do you think of a plus one?
I think it's just a Band-Aid. I think it doesn't solve the real issue. Because, again, you have a plus one, you're going to let the bowls select whoever they want. That could be a little disastrous. And then you're going to get number 1 playing number 8, and then you maybe get number 2 playing number 5, and the number 3 teams playing number 11.
It's not a good option.
No, it's not a good option.
At what point does the ACC become the Big East, a conference that nobody has any respect for? No college football fan.
Has no respect for?
I mean, a college football fan that doesn't root for the Big East really doesn't have a lot of respect for the Big East.
No, they don't.
They think it's a joke.
They do.
They think that the Big East champion is not on par.
Israel, right.
When does the ACC become that?
I don't, you know, if Virginia Tech, I mean, listen, people still respect Virginia Tech and Florida State. That's a fact.
I think if Miami had a big year, they'd respect Miami too.
If Florida State bolts to the Big 12 and Virginia Tech, God only knows what happens to them, then the conference becomes a joke. In the eyes of the nation. I'm not saying it's a joke. Don't send me emails.
Oh, no, it is a joke.
No, I know.
Wait. Those two?
Yeah, but don't send me emails from, because you like NC State and you're saying you called my conference a joke. I'm not saying they're a joke. I might believe that. But what I'm saying is, in the eyes of the nation, your conference will be a joke.
If Florida State and Virginia Tech.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
But, you know, even
The Clemson fans are already writing
emails. Here's the thing. Clemson is their best hope right now.
I know.
I put Clemson above Miami in terms of the best hope for the ACC to really impress people. I love Clemson. I love what they're doing.
Yeah, but you better believe if the SEC needs to go to 16 teams, Clemson is going to get a call.
Sure.
Okay.
I just hope it doesn't happen.
Okay.
What do you think about that Big 12 SEC bowl?
I don't think too much of it. I think some people think, first of all, you're not going to get an SEC champion and a Big 12 champion that's not in the playoff.
Right, exactly. It's going to be like a Cotton Bowl.
But I like how they kind of working together just to give themselves a little bit of a backup just in case something happens.
Okay, Dars, good to be back.
It is good to be back.
Yeah, we've been busy around here.
You've been busy. I haven't been.
Yeah, I am now hosting the Fantasy Baseball 360 show. So if you're a fantasy baseball fan, check that out. It's 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern every Monday through Friday. If you don't want to watch it live, you watch the videos on demand. We do some fun stuff on there. So things have changed for me. It's why I've been a little bit busy. Haven't been able to get on the show. But I'm glad to be here. And definitely hope to be coming at you with a little bit more regularity in the coming days. Dars, have a great weekend.
You too, man.
We'll talk to you all later. See ya.